1 Corinthians chapter 16. And while I'm dodging the bullets, let me say something. I do want to thank you, Glory Land Baptist Church, for the offering you gave us last time. I'm really bad at the logistics of being an evangelist. I always forget to write thank you letters. I like to say it in person. So thank you, church. Since you gave the offering, we've been able to raise the full amount to be able to get our motor home, and we'll be in that within the end of this month. So we gotta go to New York City to pick it up. So we'll go up there at the end of this month and pick that up, and we'll be in our new home, and it's all paid for thanks to you guys and a couple other churches. And so we want to say thank you for that. I want to say thank you for putting me in the home with Brother Stephen and Miss Erica. My dad used to live in an inner city environment, and there was a street right down the road from him. And so when he felt like life was just down and he really didn't have a lot, he'd drive down this road, and by the time he got to the end of it, by seeing the depravity of the people, he would get to the end and say, "Man, I'm glad I'm not that bad." And I used to go to the jail sometimes thinking that really things have really fallen apart, I'm not doing as well. And by the time I got out of there, I thought to myself, I'm not that bad after all. That's why I have appreciated being with the Smiths this week. Because I'm not that bad after all. Brother Stephen is the epitome of no schedule. I mean, I'm fly by the seat of your pants, and just my wife's like, "What are we doing today?" I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. But Brother Stephen had me running around in circles thinking, "Where in the world am I?" So, thank you. But thank you for treating us. They've been good to us. You guys have all been good to us. And I just appreciate this church. Appreciate Brother Charlie. Kind of taking me under his wing and allowing me to experience what a lot of young men never get to experience. And that's an older man pouring his time into you, giving you some wisdom, and of course giving me the opportunity to preach again tonight. And so I want to kind of be lighthearted tonight, and we'll let the rest of the preachers get on you. And so 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. The Bible says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I remember the first time I read this scripture, I thought to myself, thank God that that word is in the Bible. I mean, people have been telling me I'm an addict my whole entire life, and thank God that there's a good way to be an addict. Because they said, once you're an addict, you're always an addict. So I was just glad when they said that there were some things that I could be addicted to that were good. So basically, what addicted to, let me pray and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, you know my heart, and I believe that you gave me this message, and I believe this is what you've burdened my heart with. And I pray that I can get it out, Lord. I pray that I'd be reverent. And Lord, that someone would get something out of this, that someone would get some help, that someone would be blessed, Lord. Lord, there's no doubt about it. I cannot do anything in the supernatural, spiritual realm without the Holy Ghost of God doing something. So I pray that you'd do that now. You'd move, you'd work, you'd walk up and down these pews and just speak to the hearts of the people. Lord, I can speak to their heads. I can do the best I can to deliver the message. But unless you supernaturally step down, nothing's going to get accomplished tonight. So I pray you do that, and I ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. The word addicted, and I had to look it up in the Bible, because I had to look it up in the dictionary, because what I thought it was not exactly what it meant. The word addicted means to be devoted by customary practice. It means to be, to do something time and time and time and time again. So when you're addicted to something, it's because you have devoted yourself to that thing and you have made it a practice and you have made it a custom. You have made it a habit in your life, and it is something that you have devoted your whole entire life and time to. One day I was talking to a guy and I said, "Man, what is your problem?" He was messed up. His life was a wreck. He had some issues. I said, "What is your problem, man?" And he said this statement. He says, "I'm addicted to the rock." And I got to thinking about that, and I said, "I got the same exact problem." Now, the rock that he was talking about is not the same rock I'm talking about. And so what I want, the title of my message tonight is Addicted to the Rock. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hopefully we'll get somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that capital R-O-C-K was Christ." So what I want to talk about tonight is being devoted to Christ. I'm devoted to Christ. I am addicted to the rock tonight. Something got a hold of me and it has changed my life. And I have devoted my life to that thing. Everything I think about, everything I imagine, everything I dream about is Jesus Christ. I'm addicted to the rock tonight, and I believe that Paul was addicted to the rock. So what I'd like to look at for a minute is 8 signs of an addiction. 8 ways to know that you're addicted to something. Are we all right, Brother Ben? Are you understanding me? Brother Daniel, you got me. All right. They know what addiction is. Amen. The first sign of addiction, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Man, you guys are tight. Can I get some help, please? Yeah. Maybe it's me. I always tell people if it doesn't go well, it's because of me and not because of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19, the very first sign that you are addicted to something is you do it alone. Here Paul says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And what Paul the Apostle says is, he said, "I'm so devoted to Jesus Christ, I'm so addicted to the rock that when no one else is around, I don't need any friends there, I don't care if I'm in the company of somebody else, I'm so devoted to Jesus Christ that when I get alone and it's only me, I don't care if you're going to be there, I don't care if you're going to sing with me, I don't care if God Himself, but just Him and me are there. I'm going to speak to myself. I'm going to sing to myself. I'm going to be excited to myself." And when he says to King Agrippa, "Oh, King Agrippa, I think myself happy." You know how he did it? By speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Paul says, "I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm so devoted to Jesus Christ that when it's no one's around, I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ." See, most addictions come and are introduced by a way of social doing. Paul says, "Hey, I have that ability to be with people and to sing with people. And isn't it good to come together and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with people?" But Paul says, "Hey, I'm so devoted. If you're not here, I don't even need you. I'm going to do it alone." I thought to myself, there's been some people that have written some hymns, that have written some scriptures and some different things that I believe were devoted to Jesus Christ, that were addicted to the rock. And when I thought about number one, the way to know you're addicted is you do it alone, I thought about the hymn, "I Come to the Garden Alone." Listen to what this hymn writer says. It says, "I come to the garden alone. I don't need nobody else to come with me because Jesus is there. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet the birds hush their singing." And I don't want to be really irreverent tonight, but there were some times where I got alone by myself, and because of the drugs that I was doing, I took those things in my body, and when those things came in my body, it was as though nothing else in the world went on. It was just me and that thing. It was like all the birds hushed their singing. It was a place of euphoria. It was a place of being, as we said, high as a kite. Paul says here, I want you to know something. And the hymn writer says, I want you to know something. I'm so addicted to Jesus Christ that when I'm alone, I go to the garden. And when He speaks to me, it means so much to me that even the birds themselves hush their singing. And all I can hear is His voice. And I'm fine with that. I'm just good with that. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I tell you, I've been on some highs that I thought nobody ever knew. But since the day I tasted Jesus Christ, since the day I tasted salvation, there's been a joy that we've tarried that none other has ever known unless you've been saved. So number one sign to know you're addicted is you do it alone. Number two, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. That's what I'm talking about. At least he's enjoying it. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Watch what this says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Number two sign of knowing that you're addicted is that you do it openly. See, what Paul was doing was Paul in the dark nights, in the lonely hours when he was all alone and nobody else was there. He was singing to himself and he was encouraging himself and he was praising God and he was worshiping God. And he got so full of that thing that he couldn't help but to just let it out a little bit. And I'll tell you one thing, there's been some times I've had some things enter my body and it felt so good I couldn't help but to just tell somebody about it. And I went to my friend and I said, hey, you've got to try this. Hey, you've got to have a little bit of this. Hey, I've been doing this all by myself and I got to get somebody involved in this. I ain't never tasted nothing like this before. Paul says, I'm so addicted that I just can't help but to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I've devoted my life to doing it openly, to being addicted to the rock so much that, man, it just stirs in here. And I remember the song that they used to sing, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. My question tonight is the reason you can't share it with nobody because it's not bubbling in your soul? See, some of us have nothing to teach and admonish because we haven't been in the closet doing it alone. I drive my wife crazy half the time. She said it tonight. She said, honey, you've got to be quiet a little bit. She says, the voice is just carrying through the hallway. And Brother Stephen's probably sick of hearing you sing. Because I'm just walking around the house. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. Why? Because I'm just addicted. I'm just devoted to Jesus Christ. And if I'm by myself or if I'm with you, I'm still going to have what I like to have. Paul says, man, it's bubbling in here. And he says, I can't help but to just get it out a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, most of you know I was an ex-drug addict. Sometimes this is just how your mind thinks. Some of you are very dignified and you're thinking, why is he preaching on this? Because of you. I knew I could get on your nerves with the title. But the reason I get on your nerves is the same reason Brother Charlie gets on your nerves is because he's been doing it alone. When somebody comes around and they got real joy and you don't have it, it bothers you. It messes you up. I'm not preaching tonight against you. I'm just having a good time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, You know, another way to know you're addicted to something is you have to do it often. You got to do it often. Paul says, I'm so devoted to Jesus Christ, I can't help but to always just give Him thanks for everything He's ever done to me. God's been good to me, and I can't help, whether it's day or night or morning or evening, just to get up and say, thank you, God, for being good to me. Thank you, God, for being my friend. Thank you, God, for walking and talking with me. Thank you, God, for touching me. Thank you, God, for saving my soul on the road to Damascus. And His whole entire life, all He did often, every single day, He gave thanks for all ways, for all things unto God. I thought of the song, I Need Thee Every Hour. You know what this person was? They were devoted to Jesus Christ. They were addicted to the rock. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. You know what this person said? I need Jesus Christ every single hour. I'm not going to wait till next week. I'm not going to wait till next month. I'm addicted. I'm so devoted that I need Him when I wake up. I need Him the first hour I wake up. And I need Him the second hour. And I need Him the third hour. And I need Him the fourth hour. And I don't need to go an hour without Him, because when He speaks, all the temptations are gone. All my failures are gone. It's just like I've been in the garden alone, just walking and talking with Him. Most of the time we don't have victory in our life because we don't do the things that we need to often. We wait until we're in trouble. David said, I will arise early in the morning. You know, the first thing on an addict's mind when he wakes up, the thing he's addicted to. You want a sign of what you're addicted to? When you wake up in the morning, the first thought that comes to your mind, that's what you're addicted to. Paul says, hey, when I get up in the morning, I got to talk to Him. David said, hey, when I get up in the morning, I'll get up so early just so I can have a little bit of my addiction. He says, hey, I'm addicted to this thing. I'm devoted to Jesus Christ so much that I can't go an hour without Him. Oh, the longing. If some of us would realize we can't go an hour without Him. We need Him. We need Him. Number four, Ephesians chapter 4, right over there in verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, number four, a sign of to know that you're addicted is you have a change in attitude. See, I was a troublemaker when I was young, and I tried to hide it, but because of the thing that I was addicted to, because of the stuff that I was taking in my body, my attitude portrayed what I was addicted to. Paul says, if you're addicted to the rock, your attitude shouldn't be the same as it used to be. When I was a troublemaker, my parents would know that I was hanging out with the wrong people and I was doing the wrong things by the way my attitude changed. Do you know it's the same way when it's opposite? When you're addicted to Jesus Christ, when you're devoted to Him, your attitude changes. You're not bitter and grumpy and greedy and mad and angry all the time. You don't have stuff coming out of your mouth that you ought not have stuff coming out of your mouth. You, what comes out of your mouth is what you're addicted to. That's why he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know one thing that will happen to you is you will have a change in attitude. You know, people can tell what you're addicted to by your attitude. How many of you young people have, your parents have said your attitude has changed? You know how your pastor knows that you're into stuff you ought not be in because your attitude changes. You don't have the same joyful, the birds aren't singing. You don't have the joy of your salvation anymore. It's just, well, you know, I got to go to church. Well, I got to do this. And let me tell you this, the things that you're addicted to, if they are against authority, your attitude will change against authority. Drugs and alcohol, the reason people's heart changes towards authority and they have a bad attitude towards authority is because the things they're doing is against authority. Boy, One way to know, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. We'll get a living illustration of this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And I have just always loved this verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, which that really kind of portrays me, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What was different about them that made them people say they're on something we've never been on before? It was their attitude. See, they had a boldness that nobody else had. They were wanting to kill these guys and they basically said, go ahead and kill us because it's worth it. When somebody acts like that, you're wondering what in the world they're on. When a guy stands up and you say, man, I'm about ready to knock you out, he says, bring it on. You're thinking, what kind of drugs is this guy on? You know what these people are thinking? What kind of drugs are they on? But they knew only Jesus Christ, only the rock of God, only Jesus Christ could bring about a boldness to stand in the face of danger and continue to preach and continue to smile and continue to be happy. And there was a change in their attitude so much that people said, these people have been with Jesus in the garden alone. They've been spending time in the closet. They've been spending time with Jesus and we can tell it on their face. I go to some churches, I'm like Brother Terrence, I am thinking I'm just going to have to endure here. You can tell by the people's attitude, they don't want to be there. I'm thinking to myself, if they don't want to be here, neither do I. So I get the same attitude and run out the door. You know what will show on your face what you're addicted to? Your dress will change. Everything will change about you according to what you're devoted to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I take that back. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Number 5 thing to know that you're addicted. Look here in verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with a Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know another number 5 sign that you're addicted to the rock, what you're addicted to, you will have a change in friends. My mom used to tell me, you are who you hang out with. Birds of a feather flock together. And I used to say, I'm not one of them. She said, you'll soon become one of them. And your friends, when you are unequally yoked with someone, one of you is going to change or you'll separate. You say, why do you have the friends you do? Because they're addicted to the same thing I'm addicted to. Why do you want to come to church all the time? Because these people are a mess just like me. Because they're addicted to the rock too. My illustration for that is when we were younger and when I was a troublemaker, I learned one thing. Jailbirds and criminals do not marry police officers. I thought to myself, that's pretty profound, isn't it? You know what the sad part is? Most Christians can't be as smart as a jailbird or a criminal. See, we didn't hang out with them because they didn't have the same interest as us. We thought this is a conflict of interest right here, and either one of us is going to conform or we're going to separate or I'm going to end up in jail. But I know one thing, I don't want to hang out with them because they're going to cause me to do something I don't want to do, and that's live in jail. And I just wonder if Baptists could be as smart as a jailbird and realize that what you're addicted to will bring about the friends, and what your friends do, you will soon do. That's why Paul says, don't have the same friends that you think you should have Because it's going to show who you are. Jailbirds don't hang out with police officers. And you know what? I don't believe Christians should hang out with lost people either. It is a conflict of interest. How do we know what you're addicted to? By who you hang out with. By who you're friends with. By what you watch. By what you talk about. By who you consider friends. By who's on your Facebook. By who's on your Pinterest or Instagram. Well, we're just trying to win them. No, you're going to get hurt. Just like the jailbird's going to end up in jail if he hangs out with a police officer, you're going to end up a mess if you hang out with those people. But a sign to know that you are addicted to something is that there is a change in friends. Number six, and I'm going to get through this quicker than I thought. How many of you are thankful for that? Philippians chapter 3. I was trying to be nice and funny and good, but I don't think it's going to work here. You guys got some real issues because the Lord is bearing down right now. He said, drop the plow and keep working. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know, a sign that you're addicted to something is you lose interest in things that were once important. See, obedience to my parents lost interest when I was disobeying and doing things that were against authority. So, there were things in my life that I lost interest in because I was interested in one thing and I had devoted my life to that and I lost interest in the things that were once important. In other words, you get tunnel vision. I mean, has anybody ever experienced anybody with tunnel vision? Can some of you wives say amen right now? Like when your husband got that boat for fishing. And it's like nothing else in the world matters but the boat. He's out there cleaning it. He's out getting new hooks for the... You just bought 35. What do you need 5 more for? Because he's got tunnel vision. He's devoted himself to that boat and he doesn't see anything else except for the boat. Paul says, you know what? I'm the same way. He said, I don't see nothing but Christ. And he said, all the things that were once good to me, my heritage, all the things that I've earned, my life, all that means nothing. It's like I got tunnel vision and all I can see is Jesus. How many of you men can say amen right here when you think your wife has tunnel vision for shopping? All you can see is another skirt. Can't you see the 75 you got? Because they're addicted to shopping. Why don't some of us get addicted to Jesus Christ like we're addicted to worldly things? Why don't we lose interest in the things of this world and get interested in God again? Why don't some of us turn off our televisions a little while and get interested in God a little bit? Why don't some of you turn your computer off or your phone off and get interested in God a little bit? God is not interesting to you because you're addicted to something else. How many of you would not admit that the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is check your phone for a text? What about checking the book for a text from God? See, we want to say that the world's in a mess because of the lost people. No, it's because we've lost interest in the things of God and we've gained interest in their things. The devil has allured us into thinking that those things are important and they're not important anymore. It shows what you're addicted to because you lose interest in the things you're not. I have a Corvette I got from my dad when he passed away. And I had to put it in storage for a while because I couldn't drive it. You say you couldn't drive it? Yeah, I couldn't afford it because I'm in the ministry. Well, I just got the chance to go through and we had a little bit of money and so I got it back up and running and I was out driving it. Some guy, man, without a shadow of a doubt, man, that is a nice car. I mean, how much motors it got in it and he's going through all this and I said, you know what? It's just a Corvette.
He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "This don't mean nothing to me." I said, "This thing could catch on fire and it wouldn't give me I wouldn't have a problem." About a year ago, I called my mom. I said, "I can't afford it. You want it?" I tried to give it to her. She didn't want to want it. And I know what most of you are thinking. Go ahead and give it to me. No, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. But I've heard Brother Charlie say many times, "I've got some cars, but they don't have me." You know what I thought to this guy? He has no clue what's going on. It's just a car. And can I say it's just, because I have to say this in the South, it's just a pickup truck. It is going to burn. But I promise you, many of us have spent way more time waxing our truck than getting a hold of God. Because we're not devoted to Him no more. We just want to make sure we look good and everybody says, "Man, nice truck." What about the last time somebody says, "Wow, man, I've never seen that in the Bible before"? If somebody said that's a nice truck more than they've said, "Wow, are you a Christian?" We've got problems. We've got to change some things. We've got to get our priorities back on God. We're addicted to the wrong things, Christians. We have lost interest in God. We've lost interest in church. I remember just a few years ago, 10, 12 years ago, when camp meetings started, when I first got introduced to camp meetings. There were a whole lot of people, more people there. People didn't care about stuff and things. You know what they didn't care about? You know what you saw a lot of 10 years ago? People driving piece of junk cars. You don't know why? Because it was more important for the missionary to have a car than for us to have a car. So we said, "We'll just drive a junk car," and now Christians can't even pay their missions because they have a new car. I'm afraid that we're losing it. I'm afraid we're losing it. You say, "I have to have a new car. I don't know how to work on them." Yes, I understand that. But some of you don't have to have a new car. And some of you are in debt and can't pay your tithe and your missions because you've lost interest in God. And it's all about, "I just want everybody to see I have a nice car. I have a vehicle that I had to buy and I know I have to have it. And I tried to get one that was good enough for my wife to drive, but I bought AAA for a reason. One of these days that thing's going to break down." And let me tell you this, if it's a 2012 or it's a 2005, it has the same chance of breaking down. Why have we lost interest in God and put interest in a thing that the world has thrown up in our face? Our phone half doesn't work and we can't text at a million miles an hour, so we got to get an iPhone because they're faster, when the one we have is just fine. I bet you I've had 10 Christians in the last month ask me, "Well, your phone's broke. Aren't you going to get a new one?" No, it still works. You say, "What's their interest in?" "Well, because I had to give the missions this month and I don't have the money, so I think I'll just use the broken phone." Christians, why don't you get a new phone? Don't you have the money? Yeah, I probably could. Probably take a loan out for it. Sign that you're addicted. You know what the hymn writer said? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." All the things, we see the light of Jesus Christ in a distance and a car, a silhouette of a car in there. No, he says what happens is when you look into Jesus Christ's face, all that stuff begins to fade away and it don't mean nothing anymore. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let me say this, I'd rather have God than a Corvette any day. You can have it. All right, next point. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. I like what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, a man crucified when he's crucified on a tree loses all his rights. He said, you get crucified and you'll lose your rights too. Paul says, I don't have any rights. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, I don't even live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what Paul says? He says, I don't live my own life. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And when people are addicted to chemicals, the chemical compound that is inside of them lives for them. You hear a drunk talking and they say, what? That's the what? Booze talking. You know what Paul says? He says, I've got something inside of me that lives my life for me. With that being said, when you don't have that thing that you once had, you begin to have withdrawal symptoms. The thing that once controlled you is no longer there. Something is missing in your life. You know what an addict knows? An addict knows when the drugs are gone inside their life and they begin to have some withdrawal symptoms. And it's like this longing in their heart builds and builds and builds and builds. And I need to get a hold of the thing that was once in there, that once lived my life for me. And I got to get a hold of it so that I can live again. I need a fix. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. He said, I got something inside of there and I've been fixed ever since. I don't need anything else but Jesus. Look at Psalms 51. I'll give you an example of this. Many of you know this. I'll read it. What David had was for about a year. He had lived for God. He had obeyed God. He had everything in order. He messed up his life. He turned his heart away. He got addicted to other things. And now God is gone. And now God has pulled the joy back. And he says, I'm having some withdrawal symptoms. Something's not right in my life. I used to have power and now I don't have power. I used to have joy and now I don't have joy any longer. He said, I got some withdrawal symptoms. Watch, here's what he says. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I used to have a good spirit, and I don't have it anymore. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He says, I need your Holy Spirit to live, and it's not there anymore. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, I'm having something. I used to live. Christ used to live in me. Things used to happen. I used to have power, and it's not happening no more. And I know that I need to get it fixed. Can you help me? Can you help me? Last night I was praying and trying to get a hold of God and trying to figure out what to preach. And I'm out in this cemetery up above their house and I'm calling out to God the best I know how. And I get a text from my wife. It says, the boys and I went on a walk and they were yelling, Daddy, where are you? And it just broke my heart. And that's when God says, I want you to preach this right here. Because what happened was my sons went for a walk. And they realized something was missing. And they said, the walk ain't going to be the same if Daddy's not here. And so they get outside and they said, Daddy, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Because it ain't the same without you here. I was in the cemetery going, Daddy, where are you? It's not the same without you here. If I come to the garden alone and I can't hear your voice, the walk and talk is not the same without you here. I need your burning. I need your longing. I need your unction. I need your power. I need your presence because it's just not the same without you here. Why can't we shout? Because it's not the same without Him here. Not the same without Him here. They knew that the walk would not be the same without Daddy there. And I told God that too. I said, look, my preaching's not the same without you there. My singing's not the same. My daily walk, I'm not the same father that I need to be without you there. I'm not the same husband. I'm not the same Christian without you there. Last thing brings me to this point. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Watch this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Watch this. That I may win Christ. Number 8 sign to know you're addicted to something is you will sell anything or do anything to keep your addiction. Man, I know crackheads. I know heroin addicts. I seen them, man, back days. They would steal their own TVs. They would steal their in-laws' TVs. They would steal cars. They would steal radios. They would steal money from you. They'd do anything in the world to be sure to get enough money to keep what they're devoted to going. You know what? A person that is addicted to something, when they get so desperate for the thing they need, they'll literally sell their own body to get it. You know what Paul says, Romans 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, would you sacrifice your body to have Jesus? Why aren't we selling out? Nobody's addicted to Jesus anymore. Nobody's devoted to the book no more. People aren't. I'm not going to say nobody. I apologize for that. Let me ask you a question. Are you addicted enough to give up yourself? To sell yourself short? To get the thing that you need to get? A real addict will. A real addict will sell their car to get it. I've seen them, man. I've seen them sell their houses. I've seen them sell their cars. I've seen them sell every possession they own just to keep their addiction. They used to have offerings. I've heard stories of them. I've seen them happen. Christians wouldn't have enough money. They'd put their watch in there. They'd put their car keys in. Why? Because I'd sell everything I have to keep God around. We got $500 in our wallet or in our purse, and we don't want to give 20 to keep God. Why? We're not addicted. We're not devoted like we should be. You say, what's your problem, preacher? I'm not devoted like I should be. But I tell you one thing, I'd give it all away if I could just have God. What Paul says, he said, I count it all but loss so that I can win Him. When my dad passed away, my dad told me, I want you in the ministry. I've never been more happy for you. I've never been more proud of you. And I think you're better off here than you ever. When my dad passed away, I got a house, a business, so many cars, classic cars. I got a whole entire body shop. All the tools, except for one toolbox and a few tools, went to a missionary in, where's she at, honey? Moldova. I gave Brother Charlie a car. He said, what is it? I'd give it all away. I'd do everything I can just to see that. Why? Because it costs money. It takes money away from what I'm doing. So you know what? You can have it. But Charlie says, you can't give it to me. I said, yes, I can. Because I'll give it all away if I can have God. Devoted to Jesus Christ. This is what the one songwriter said. All my life long I had panted. Remember them times when you didn't have nothing? You broke down. Body's a mess. Mind's a mess. Heart's a mess. You're just looking for something. For a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him. Whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through His blood, I now am saved. You know what an addicted person will say once they finally got it? Hallelujah, I've been waiting a long time for that. And I wonder tonight if there's not some Christians in here that it's just not the same without Him. And you're having some withdrawal symptoms. You know in your heart. I like what one man says. One man said, you know what your sin is. but you're not willing to give it up. The one songwriter said, when I survey the cross, says, I give up my pride. I pour contempt on my pride. Are you willing to give up your own pride to have God? The songwriter says, if I owned the world, it would be a sacrifice too small to have Jesus Christ. Said, I'd give up the world for Jesus Christ. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Wonder if some of us tonight, Brother Charlie, you can come. Wonder if some of us tonight aren't satisfied anymore. We're addicted to other things. We are literally devoted so much that those things consume us and we can't even get our eyes on God. And He says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.